Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glass.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
I thank and praise God for this borewell that God has enabled us to put in this village with the prayer and support of Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Radio Ministry, and by the prayer and support of the Pastor Greg Young and the Chosen Generation Ministry, we could put the borewell in this village for the community. Before, this community was drinking dirty water, and that was really causing a lot of sickness. But now they are getting pure and fresh water, and all the community is so thankful for Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Ministry and all the supporters. And we pray for all of you that God would bless you and God would use you so that we can put more and more borewells in a poor and a needy community, those who are really having a problem of the water. And this borewell we have put, and pure and fresh water is coming, and we are so thankful for all of you. Especially we thank to Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Ministry that help us and support us to put the borewell. Thank you. God bless you.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code CHOSENGENRADIO at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code CHOSENGENRADIO. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome to the program. Great to have you with me. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice on where you can listen each and every day. Thank you for keeping it tuned here to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. Great program lined up for you today. Ed Bartlett will be with us. We'll talk a bit about domestic violence and surprisingly, one of the primary victims these days of domestic violence is men. It is. We'll talk about that, the emasculation of America and what that actually means. Let's see. We'll talk about fake news with Taryn Rose and Newsbusters, and I know we'll get into the topic of the abortion decisions in Ohio and Virginia. And before my pro-life friends go into a panic mode, let's remember that the overturning of Roe v. Wade was for the purpose of bringing these decisions back to the states. So that's what's happened. What needs to be realized is the culture and the indoctrination that exists within the education system. And that's where your battle is. The battle's not in the court. The battle is in educating people about what abortion really is and what it means and the damage that it causes, both generationally to the young woman, to all that are engaged and all that are involved. And that's where we've got to fight our fight. And it just proves that our system is a pro-death culture rather than a pro-life culture. But I'll get into some of that with Taryn and at the top of the next hour. Also today, Claire Lopez and Rick Manning will be with me, and we'll be talking about the threat that we are facing right here, the terrorist threat that we are facing right here in our country because of these open borders. Yesterday, you watched one of the members of Congress, Rashida Tlaib, was censured for her pro-Palestinian and anti-Israel statements, which I think is great. But what we've got to realize is that she is speaking for these significant pockets that exist. If you go and look at where is she from, Dearborn, Michigan, no-go zones. Look at Omar and where she's from and the number of Somalis that are there and the violence that is there and the rapes that are happening there that go fully and completely, not just unreported media-wise, but there are women that are being victimized in those areas and nothing is being done. And it's not just there. This is a widespread issue, and this is all a part of the Islamic plan. They do this in every country that they go into. All right. Well, joining me now, our constitutional originalist, and we've got a lot to cover with him today. We'll talk a little bit about the abortion issue and the constitutional aspects of that. There is a gun case that is going before the Supreme Court regarding restraining orders and domestic violence and who gets a gun and who doesn't get a gun. So we'll get into that. And then we also are going to get into conversation about President Trump's trials in New York and in Georgia. Sidney Powell, Kenneth Chesbro, and Jenna Ellis have all gone into plea deals on the Georgia situation. And we'll talk about tomorrow's great event and Reverend Steve Lee. So let's get into that right now. As a matter of fact, I want to welcome to the program my good friend, David Shostokas. David, welcome. Good to have you.
Thank you so much, Greg. It's great to be with you. It's a little energizing early in the morning to hear you get on and be so excited and talk about that. I just love the energy that you have at 7 in the morning. My time in any event, I don't know that I need to be quiet, that I'm able to quite be so energized as you in the morning. Today I had to get a little something. I had some cinnamon streusel and whatnot to get myself energized to be with you this morning. So it's great to be here though, Steve.
Well,
Greg, I have so many pastors in my life these days. I have more pastors than I can imagine. I'm going to be with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 tomorrow, and you this morning. And so sometimes I'm probably going to be just safe if I go, good morning, Pastor.
Well, you know what? When that we have that same situation with the kids. I've got five kids, and it becomes kind of a common thing. It's you're going to correct one of the kids, and it's like And you just kind of list all the names till you get to the one that you're actually talking to. So I completely understand that, brother. I completely understand that. Let's start with the election yesterday and the abortion issue, because you and I talked about that when Roe v. Wade happened and was overturned, and everybody was the other side was in a panic about it. And our side was in a march of victory, and I would suggest perhaps that this election could lead some of them to question that victory march per se, But in reality, I think we need to not overread this, right? I mean, this was not a national election. These were two individual states, and those states had elections on a particular issue, and it wasn't even about, you know, full-throated abortion. It was abortion at 15 weeks in one case, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, this is correct, and I think during the course of the life of Roe v. Wade, people didn't really understand what the case was about originally, nor in the end did they understand what it was when it was overturned. And certainly when it was originally put together, it had to do, at least the theories that the justices put together in 1973 had to do with privacy rights and some other things. It really never was an abortion decision, so to speak. And ultimately, when they overturned it, they ultimately did do what they were supposed to do. And that was say, this is not the business of the federal government. This is the business of the states and individual people to make the decision locally, as opposed to have it come down on high. Because, of course, there is no right to an abortion any place in the Constitution. And so the Roe v. Wade itself and our Dobbs that overturned it were really about who gets to decide. It wasn't about the issue itself, but it was rather about who gets to decide the issue. And now that it was returned to the states, you're going to wind up with these local elections or local decisions by state legislators on the issue. And that's exactly where it belongs. It belongs closer to the people, per the 10th Amendment. The 10th Amendment, of course, reserves all issues that are not granted to the federal government for regulation to the regulation of the states or the people, respectively. And this is when everybody says things about threats to democracy and whatnot. Well, this is actually the democratic republic in action. That is, we have 50 little republics, and the 50 little republics have the ability to decide issues not covered by the Constitution, not only the ability, but actually the right and the duty to decide those issues. And that's what this is. That's what this was about. So it's not national. It doesn't. It may have some implications for national. But as you said at the top, at the opening, these kinds of things indicate the need for continuing education about the adverse impact of abortion, not just, as you said, generationally, but on the individuals that are involved and what it actually is in terms of morality, in terms of murder, in terms of those kinds of things. And so the discussion, the education needs to be ongoing. And you know what? That's how it should be. What Roe unfortunately supposedly did was take it out of the public debate. By saying the federal Constitution protected certain activity, and when the Supreme Court does that, that removes a subject from the public debate, and so you cannot win on educational matters because there's nothing to educate on. So it's this is democracy in action, and so the duty of folks that rightly believe that this is immoral and murder and the other kinds of issues have to make their case, and they have to make their case in a broader spectrum, as you indicated, that it's that they need to talk to people about the adverse impacts across the board, well beyond the simple immoral aspects of it, but rather the adverse impact that it has on the people who are involved in such situations.
Yeah, and again, you know, this issue is saying that abortion is now allowed in Ohio up to 22 weeks. It doesn't say that abortion is banned, but it's not. I don't know. I would say that it's not the massive, what I would consider to be the massive victory. And again, as you said, it's only relative to these states. But what we need to watch out for is the media is going to construe this as national consensus. They're going to take two out of 50 states and say, well, this is what everybody believes. And you're going to watch the Democrats in Washington, D.C. trying to push legislation through to put abortion back on the table and turn it into a federal mandated issue as opposed to leaving it in the states. And there are many states where it is banned and where the people have voted for it to be reduced and or banned.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And the problem with them going forward on this matters in Washington is that that's exactly what Dobbs said was wrong, is that it's not the authority of the federal government to be involved in this subject, that they should keep their nose out of this subject. But they'll stick their nose in the subject, not because they have the legal authority to do so, but because they want to try and build some sort of narrative that they have the ability to do so. But Dobbs specifically says that it's not the business of the federal government, and so the national Democrats to try and make this into some activity out of Washington will be running contrary to the Constitution. Which, of course, is no impediment to anything they do. The Constitution is meaningless to these folks, and so it's not surprising that they will do that. They will try and utilize authority that the Supreme Court says they don't have.
Well, they're running on that. They're running on abortion, gun control, and then what they refer to what they claim to be democracy, and I put a piece together. I put the video out yesterday, and I'm going to say a couple of things in here, David, that are going to sound harsh or I don't know, critical or however you want to take them. But I want us to understand what they're saying about our kids when they're promoting what they're promoting. Because their number one argument on the abortion front is, well, it's about protecting women who have been raped and giving them the ability to be able to have an abortion. Okay? You have to draw the parallel there. So that means that they're saying that our sons are rapists. That's what they're saying.
Yeah. No, that is what they're saying,
and then they're saying that, well, you can't eliminate abortion because, you know, a lot of these girls have, you know, they get pregnant and they don't mean to get pregnant and they don't want to. Okay, so what are you doing? You're saying that our daughters are whores that can't keep their legs together. That's what you're saying. That's what they are saying about our children. And I'll get into this a little more in the next hour when I talk about Kinsey and the influence of Kinsey calling every child a sexual being from birth. But here's what I said, David. Democrats across the country are running on abortion, gun control, and democracy. They're telling you that your sons are rapists, your daughters are whores, defenseless children in schools stop bullets, and mobs like BLM and Antifa, social media platforms, and cancel culture should control free speech. They want drag shows at your schools and support gender mutilation. As a Christian conservative, I believe your sons are to be raised as men of valor. Your daughters' bodies are more than sex objects and deserve honor. Guns are a deterrent to senseless violence, and we want all Americans to have representation and the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, including free speech, freedom to practice your religion, a free and honest press, the right to peacefully assemble, the right to redress your representative government. So vote conservative for freedom.
Well, you know, it's interesting that, of course, that you put in there that they run on democracy and they say that things are existential threats to democracy. But, of course, they won't do anything to protect the security of elections. They don't actually believe in democracy because they believe in all these things that make the elections insecure rather than tighten the elections up. And so because the issues that you talk about are actually true. They cannot win at the ballot box, and so they mess with the ballot box itself, and that's where it all comes down to. You've heard me say this before. If we had straight and square elections, a whole lot of these issues would not be issues. This is where it comes down to actual, real Republican representative democracy should be what everybody would be in favor of, but they're not in favor of that. They're just in favor of their issues. And so anything that they can do to make elections insecure and give them authority and power is what they're interested in doing.
Let's talk for a minute about the gun rights issue. Yeah. And, there's a case coming up that has to do with domestic violence. It has to do with the restraining orders. The Chief Justice actually questioned the attorney who's bringing this case before him. You know, don't you consider your client to be dangerous? And the man says, well, what describe dangerous? Oh, I don't know. Shooting at people, indiscriminately shooting at people. Is that? And the guy's like, oh, well, fair enough. Where does that sit in your mind, constitutionally?
Well, as background, of course, it is the case is about this overriding federal. It's a federal. Actually, it turns out to be a federal requirement that's been enacted by many states as well. That once there is a charge where there's been probable cause that somebody would be involved in a domestic violence matter. And there, you know what? Domestic violence doesn't just include a husband and wife. Domestic violence is, generally speaking, involves parties that are either have a family relationship, a dating relationship, a living relationship. It's a very broad swath of society that's covered by potential domestic violence charges. And it's, generally speaking, a battery, which can be as much as an unpermitted touching of another person that falls within one of these relational categories. Once somebody's charged with that, then there is a mandatory relinquishment of any guns, any gun ownership, the right to have a gun, the right to possess a gun, or any kind of weapon is, generally speaking, taken away from them. The conditions of their bond is put together that says, no, you can't carry a weapon. Sometimes, and in which case, sometimes the judge in certain circumstances makes that mutual and indicates that the victim may not be able to as well, because some of these circumstances, at least early in the stages, you can't tell. The problem with that is that, of course, it takes away people's authority and rights under the Second Amendment. It literally takes them away at a point in time when they are just accused of a crime, not in a situation where they've been convicted of a crime. And this is the problem, because, of course, we're supposed to have this presumption of innocence. We're not supposed to be imposing penalties and taking away rights in advance of convictions. This is where the problem comes in, is because you're interfering with Second Amendment rights early on without any particularized proof that this particular individual is any particular danger to himself or others through possession of the weapon. There's just an assumption that if they're accused of this, that they are a danger, and then their Second Amendment rights are abused. So that's what's at stake in there, is this broad swath of laws across both the states and the federal government that essentially takes away Second Amendment rights upon the accusation of these matters. And I don't want to myself paint a broad picture, but I was involved in domestic violence prosecutions. And after that, I was involved in domestic violence defense matters. And I will tell you that people that have been in that system, either as an accuser or as a defendant, learn how to abuse these systems and actually weaponize the system in their favor by lodging complaints that may or may not have happened. And the knee-jerk reaction of the prosecutors is and the prosecutors and the police. And frankly, I don't necessarily blame the police, but the prosecutors should investigate more before going forward. The police, when somebody gets called on a domestic violence matter, the police are always going to arrest somebody. Somebody's always going to be arrested. Police are not social workers, right? They only have one authority. They only have one ability that differentiates them from everybody else, and that is they have the authority to arrest somebody. And rather than leave some parties together that may be dangerous to each other, they do their best to determine the aggressor in a particular situation, and they arrest them and take and remove them from the situation. Most of the domestic violence laws allow for a 72-hour cooling off period where the parties are not able to get together again. And so there's a variety of mechanisms in place to protect against that, and frankly, to take away somebody's Second Amendment rights on a mere accusation is, I would suspect, is a danger as has been a dangerous precedent, and have many innocent people had their constitutional rights abrogated on the mere accusation and without any particularized proof that this particular individual is any kind of danger. And so that's what's facing the court under this circumstance is can you interfere with such rights on the mere accusation without any particularized information that this individual is in fact such a danger?
And having been on both sides of that, I'm sure that, you know, from the victim's perspective, when there is a legitimate victim of something of that, then there's the very real concern that they have. And unfortunately, domestic violence calls tend to be the most violent because there's such hot-tempered emotions that are running in the midst of all of that. So it kind of goes back to the same thing on the abortion front. And what I mean by that is the moral compass, right? The concept of valuing each other's lives and being able to step back from the emotions engaged in all of that and recognize, wait a minute. You know, I don't have a right to take a life because I'm, yeah. You know, whatever, angry, what have you. There's not a right to take a life here.
Yeah, well, this is dangerous. I've got actually a couple of cases where I'm defending people at the moment who, in fact, they were the ones that called the police in the first instance. And then the police determined that they were the aggressor. And all they were hoping tomorrow to do was have the police come and pull off the situation. And now these individuals' authorities and rights under the Second Amendment have been abridged till we resolve these matters. And yet they were the ones that called the police in the first place. And so that's the problem in terms of interfering with the Second Amendment rights, is that there's no particularized determination as to that individual and that circumstance. There's just this broad swath. And so we'll see what the court does.
Yeah,
it's a difficult circumstance to deal with. But I've also seen so many times when people know what the system does, they're mad at whomever it is, yep. And they just call and say, he spit at me.
Yeah.
They're happy to have him taken away.
Well, that's like those laws in California where, you know, you get mad at your neighbor, so you can call your neighbor and say, hey, my neighbor's whatever, whatever, whatever. and under their laws, the police can go over and disarm the neighbor simply because of the red flag laws. You know, I mean, that's exactly what red flag laws are. They completely bypass the legal system and arbitrarily disarm Americans. And you see that, you know, I remember years ago when I used to work with Michael Conley, we talked a lot about that because the majority of those cases actually at that time were veterans who would complain about, you know, PTSD and just psychological issues related to, you know, having been through war and emotions that they were struggling with. And immediately you had a culture in the psychological world or the psychiatry world where their counselors would turn them in. And the next thing they know, they've got somebody knocking at their door, disarming them without any adjudication.
This is the problem in terms of presumptions of guilt,
right?
Imposing penalties without any particular, findings that this individual, you just make these broad swaths, and this is a problem. Of course, we have this problem generally as to criminal law these days, when why we have so many homeless people, because in fact we've done away with mental health care that we used to provide as a general situation,
right?
And then so you're left with the streets and the jails for people that have such problems as opposed to mental health. And that, you know, that's among the President Trump's proposals for next year, is to start to restore mental health treatment that has now been basically thrown away in favor of either jails or the rights of people to live on the streets.
Yeah. Well, there's no safety for that, right? If you're struggling with those kinds of things, you don't feel safe talking to anybody because you feel like they're going to leak that out the back end to somebody that's then going to come after you in some way. And so there really is a fear or a concern about the confidentiality of the things that you may or may not share. And that, you know, creates all kinds of issues. It's really unfair to people that are dealing with very real challenges. And then, you know, we could get into a whole conversation about that, because there's a lot of placating that takes place as well. And I think that churches and Christianity as a whole does a very poor job with mental health in many respects, because they want to just kind of try to put a Band-Aid on it and move past it rather than dealing with it. And it's a whole body issue. That there are chemical issues that are engaged in it. So there's physiological problems, there's psychological issues, there's spiritual issues. I mean, it is a whole body of things, and there's a holistic approach that is being used successfully. But unfortunately, on a broader stroke, most people don't have access to that kind of holistic approach.
This is true. But, you know, there was a time when, in fact, we did those kinds of things.
Right.
And in the 80s and 90s, we abandoned those circumstances. Apparently, budgetary things and just laziness on behalf of the government.
And some of the laziness too was there was a pushback amongst, you know, certain rights groups regarding the abuse of institutionalizing, because if anybody's, you know, let's just throw them into a facility and then lock the key and forget about them. You know, one flew over the cuckoo's nest, right? You know, that kind of situation. So again, there's an imbalance. Again, you have to have, you know, you have to project a holistic approach, irrespective of what the issue is. But in this particular instance, I think in particular, because this goes back to the base root. When you're telling people there's no God, so there's no hope, so there's no purpose, so, you know, life is, you break the conscience barrier, so there's no right or wrong, there's no absolutes, people need those things. People need a sense of of a comfort in what's right and what's wrong. People need to know that they can leave their house and know that the people they're going to be interacting with have a conscience. It's unnerving to be involved and be in a culture where you leave the house and you have a sense that you know 60% of the people that you're going to come into contact with have no moral barometer whatsoever. They're just out there for themselves. That's dangerous.
It is dangerous, Greg. And that's what the court's going to be balancing in those in this particular case in this situation. Yeah. And so let's hope that they come out with some sort of limitations on interference with constitutional rights based on accusations.
And if you start with teaching about God and life having value at the inception of that and reintroduce that to the education system, now all of a sudden you're going to begin to have a group of people that are going to be much more temperate in how they resolve their issues, because they're going to look at the person that they're dealing with and say, you know what, that person has just as much right to have value as I do. Let's try to figure this out whereby we respect each other's rights.
Yes.
We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back and talk about respecting of rights, because we're going to talk about Reverend Lee and an event you have going on tomorrow. And one of the very first and foremost and fundamental rights that we have, and that is the right to free speech. And we'll talk about that coming up right after this brief break. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. My guest, David Shostokos, Shostokos.com, our constitutional originalist. We'll be back with more coming up right after this brief break.
So up next, we have Clanslight. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. And Clanslight is a formula that's made from a natural orthosilic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring, that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts, which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your clean slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your clean slate today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen, or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you, and God bless.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. even believe I slept better. Get yours today at CGRWellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's CGRWellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for in World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. Thanks so much for being here. I do know you have a choice on where you can listen each and every day. Thanks for keeping it tuned here. ChosenGenerationRadio.com. You can also pick up the archived shows. If you go to show archives, the very first link that you're going to come to is new video audio. Click on that. And all the links that we have, especially including the link over to our Rumble page, which has the videos up each day, you can find them there. They're broken out by segment. And this first segment we're doing here is a full hour with David Shostokas, our constitutional originalist. David, welcome back to the program. Good to have you.
Thank you so much. Great to be back. We both had to have some coffee. It was nice. This is early. as I mentioned, this was my second show because I did one with Cat Peterson in Central Illinois. Cat on the Morning Buzz, City's 92.9 for folks in Central, she's over the air in Central Illinois, like you, streaming at, oh my goodness, everywhere, you know, in that regard. But Kat is coming up to Chicago tomorrow from the Bloomington Normal area where she broadcasts from. And she's going to be among the moderators for our event tomorrow involving Pastor Stephen Lee. And Pastor Lee, as folks may know, you and I have talked about this before. And you've had Pastor Lee, we're going to be talking about the situation that he's been indicted along with President Trump and 17 others in Georgia, accused of a racketeering influence corrupt organizations violation, that he was part of some vast right-wing conspiracy to overturn the 2020 presidential election illegally. And Pastor Lee, of course, knocked on two doors and was involved in a couple of phone calls. And they say that he was involved in trying to get Ruby Freeman to falsely indicate that she was involved in election fraud. Ruby Freeman being the individual who became fairly famous or infamous in that closed circuit television network. Broadcast from the Allstate Arena in Atlanta, Georgia, or State Farm Arena, excuse me, in Atlanta, right. Georgia, by bringing a box of ballots out from underneath the table and start to run those ballots through a vote counting machine when everyone else had been kicked out of the observation area. And so so that's one sort of conspiracy that Pastor Lee is accused of being involved in, but ultimately he's also accused of this RICO violation that involves President Trump and Rudy Giuliani, and at one point involves Sidney Powell and Jenna Ellis and Mr. Cheesebrough, all of whom have pled guilty to other misdemeanor cases that under Georgia's first offender law allows them to have their records cleaned and expunged at the end of this. But in the meantime, it appears as though we have every reason to believe that Pastor Lee is going to go to trial. And I would hope that folks that are in and around Illinois come up and visit us at the Families of Faith in Shanahan. There's a Facebook event that describes the situation. We're going to have, I mentioned at the top of the show, my being surrounded by pastors. We're going to have Pastor Randy Bland of Ministries of Faith, Families of Faith, Pastor David Smith of the Illinois Family Institute, and Pastor Latasha Fields of the Illinois Opportunity Project, all discussing the weaponization of government against religion. It's going to be a great panel with those folks. Then Pastor Lee himself will be discussing his situation and the impact of this of these indictments on his life and whatnot. And then after that, you're going to hear from the lawyers involved, myself, and as we've got it scheduled now, David Oles, my co-counsel in Georgia, is going to be joining us, and we're going to be explaining to folks the actual legal concepts that they're proceeding under and why it is we don't think that they're proceeding properly. But the fact is this case in Georgia, people are not watching as carefully as they should because it impacts every right in the First Amendment. There's five rights in the First Amendment, and it's religion and speech and press and assembly and the ability to petition the government for redress of grievances. There's 159 acts in that indictment that I would suggest are all legitimate exercises of the First Amendment that the people in Georgia are trying to criminalize. And I just mentioned that you can hopefully, you know, if you can be with us. If you can't, there's a Give, Send, Go / Chaplain Lee that will help out. He's going to go to trial. We have every reason that we're going to have a trial unless they wake up and say, oh, my goodness, we were nuts to indict this guy. Unless they wake up and do that, I have every reason to believe we're going to go to trial. And that's a very expensive proposition. One day to fly to and come back from Georgia is $1,200 for the pastor and myself. And Chaplain Lee is rightfully called America's chaplain. Nothing against you, Pastor Greg.
no offense taken.
But he's been a chaplain to NYPD in the aftermath of 9/11, at Hurricanes Irma and Katrina, the Pulse nightclub shooting, the Las Vegas, Mandalay Bay shootings, and Columbine. You name it, any crisis that there's been in America in the last 30 years. Stephen Lee has been there to offer his unique combination of law enforcement experience and ministry. So that's where that title comes from. Through that personal experience. And so he needs our help. But I mentioned this because I think it's worthwhile. I've done, since this has arisen, I've done interviews on the subject with journalists from London and from Hamburg, Germany, and from Paris, France, and from New Zealand, and from Australia. The folks from around the world understand that if there's any kind of convictions at all in this case that impact the rights that were exercised under the First Amendment, the rights of Americans have been diminished, and yet the people around the world always point to America as a beacon of the protection of rights. And if the rights of Americans are diminished, they understand their own rights, their own arguments to protect their rights in their countries are diminished.
Let me ask you this question, because I think this is an important point. You know, a lot of people, news is really pushing the plea deals of Sidney Powell, Kenneth Chesbrough, and Jenna Ellis. Yes. Now, each of their attorneys have suggested, Kenneth Chesbrough, I read yesterday, his attorney said, look, this does not have a negative bearing on President Trump's case. But one of the things that's interesting, that's been of note, that gets touched on, but they don't go further with it, is that all of these cases waive the Georgia RICO. The Georgia RICO charges are dropped right out the gate, and then they plead to something significantly lesser, but we're going to cooperate, whatever that might look like. It, you know, to some analysts, they look at that and say, okay, well, there's your evidence that the RICO portion of this case is really, really made up. Can you speak to that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I was once a prosecutor, and if in fact I had the if I had the evidence to proceed on a major charge that was involved in a case that had multiple charges, that's the charge we would proceed upon. I wouldn't dismiss that charge. And that would be part and parcel of whatever the plea is. You might do in return for the plea, you might do something in terms of a sentencing recommendation, but you would not drop the charge, you know. And so that's clear evidence that the prosecutors do not have anything on the RICO matter, because that's, of course, what they make their headlines on. But unfortunately, the narrative, they're building the narrative that now President Trump is surrounded by criminals, right? Because these folks are pleading guilty to mostly misdemeanors in that. But in every instance, they've pled what they call first offender law that allows them, if as long as they comply with their conditions of the probation attached to it, these cases get wiped clean from their record. In the meantime, they're convicted of something, right? And in the meantime, they're theoretically criminals. But in the end, if their records are clean, they were never criminals to begin with. And so it's a false narrative, but the narrative allows the prosecutors to make the claim that they want to make. And it's a terrible shame that this shows you of the oppressive nature of the government's authority, that even someone with as stellar a legal career as Sidney Powell would be crushed under the weight of the taxpayer-funded prosecution of her, and she'd have to be bankrupt.
And let's not, and let's not forget too. You know, I mean, when you consider that, this, I know this has to be devastating for her, because one of the things that led to Sidney kind of breaking out onto the national stage was prosecutorial abuse that was done against her years ago, that she fought for so many years to try to battle against this kind of corruption. And that was one of the things that you know, was kind of her rise to fame, was her book that she wrote, you know, speaking about these exact tactics. And, you know, it has to be, I don't know Sidney real well, but I do know her. It has to be, you know, discouraging and somewhat disheartening to a degree. And I don't know that I've heard anybody say anything about this, and they should, and our prayers need to be with her. But it's got to be disheartening to her to have gone through the prosecutorial abuse that she did, documented, proven, won, and now basically facing the same kind of system all over again. If I'm Fannie Willis, I better realize that I got a tiger by the tail, and yeah, okay, I'm going to go ahead and take your deal, but I know your game, and I've played this game before. And if you think I'm just going to sit back and not get my pound of flesh, you're sadly mistaken. That's the Sidney Powell that I know.
Well, we'll see. You know, of course, Sidney's at another place in her life. She's now a grandma and has got her career more behind her than ahead of her.
Yeah.
In some days you just wake up, and under those circumstances, I would think you'd wake up and say, I just want this over with. I want to go love my grandkids.
I understand that. I mean, I really understand that. I think we, you know, don't be, for those of you that are out there that are hearing this or watching what is going on, not hearing us, but reading, please don't take a hard stand. You know, Sidney has been a warrior for years fighting prosecutorial, malpractice and abuse. And like I say, read her book. She won. She proved it, and she won, and the individuals that were involved were prosecuted for it. And here she is again watching it, because the system, as you and I have discussed, unfortunately, the system's broken. The system is broken.
Well, it is in many respects, and that goes back to your original, a long time ago, your overriding principles that people are not taught good and evil, and so that there's not a heart that's running in the right, running in the depth of the prosecutors yeah. that are saying, okay, there's justice, and I want to do justice, I want to get exercise power. And when I had the job, that was my approach to it all the time. I would charge cases that I could prove, and if I was not able to prove them, I did not charge them. You should, in fact, have a 90% plus conviction rate because you shouldn't charge the cases that you can't prove. You know, and so it's a huge responsibility. It's a huge amount of authority, and it's liable to abuse. And we see this tremendous abuse now and misuse for political purposes regarding President Trump. But the danger it has to everybody around the world
yep.
for not standing up to these circumstances,
yep.
people should comprehend. And if there's anybody in our in the neighborhood of tomorrow, we're gonna have a great
Thank
program.
You. Yeah.
In Shanahan, there's a Facebook event about it. There's also a LinkedIn event about it. You can find out more about that. And actually. At the givesendgo.com/Chaplain Lee, in the discussion section of the Give Send Go, there's a description of the event as well.
And what time does that event start, David?
The doors open at 5:45. The program starts at 6:30.
Okay.
We anticipate going till about 8:30. We're going to have some other people there that will from New Illinois and some folks from Preserve America Now and. The United Southland Republican Women are going to have a table. So it's not just that. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful event for people to get together and learn about what this is really about.
And where is this going to be held at again?
Families of Faith Christian Ministries in Shanahan, Illinois. And maybe people don't know the term Shanahan, but for folks in the Midwest, it's at the intersection of Interstate 80 and I-55. Interstate 55, very easy to get to from east, west, north, south. You can come over from Indiana. You can come over from Iowa. Please join us.
There we go. And that's 5:45 p.m. at the Families of Faith Center.
Families of Faith Ministries.
Families yeah. of Faith Ministries. Okay.
Yeah.
At I-80 and I-55.
In Shanahan, Illinois. Yeah. And like I said, we got this great group of pastors. Like I said, my life is surrounded by them. You'll be the sixth one I'll talk to in the next day or so. And hopefully every one of them will pray for me because I need it.
There we go. Absolutely. Absolutely.
We'll be there tomorrow. But like I said, if you can't, please help Pastor Lee because it's expensive. To do these things, to mount this defense.
Yeah.
And there's also always the Give, Send, Go, Chaplain Lee.
GiveSendGo.com/Chaplain Lee. GiveSendGo.com/Chaplain Lee. And you can make your donation there to help support him in his legal expenses in the battle that he's fighting. And really, these legal expenses are about securing those First Amendment rights, freedom of religion, freedom of speech, a free press, the ability to redress your government, and the ability to peacefully assemble. These are critical to our constitutional republic. And I thank you, David, for fighting this good fight. And again, GiveSendGo.com/Chaplain Lee. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more Chosen Generation Radio on the other side. I've got quite a bit that I want to cover with you, and I'll be back with you to talk about all those things coming up right after this brief break.